On today's episode of the We Don't Know Either podcast, host Tim guesses the largest known prime number and takes a walk through the Amazon.
Jaguars!
But first, support for today's show comes from Advantage Financial Federal Credit Union. For better local banking, visit them 7 days a week in Noma. Mention We Don't Know Either for $50 cash when you open a free checking account. Go to advfcu.org for details.
Enjoy the show.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 308 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Tim.
Tim, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, so Tim is one of our hosts, host extraordinaire. You've been hosting now for a couple months.
Yes.
What have you learned in that short time? Well, it's kind of a long time. I don't know. But what have you learned from your hosting so far?
Well, I've learned that a lot goes into trivia. That's one thing. That's from the inside. And also, I've learned a lot about the people who go to trivia shows. They are very, very serious about their trivia.
Yeah.
They don't play. They're like, can you repeat the answer? Can you repeat the question? I'm like, I can, whatever you want.
Yeah.
I got you. I'm going to stroke your hair.
I think that trivia players are awesome in the sense that they care so much. It's like me with ball hockey. Like, this is
right.
A recreational, silly thing, but I'm going to travel 3 hours this weekend.
You get up at 6 o'clock every morning just to do something involved with ball hockey, which makes no sense to me at all.
Everybody has their thing.
Yeah.
Do you have a thing beside hosting trivia? Like, what is your thing that you're weirdly passionate about?
I love comedy. That's my
oh.
pseudo job, trying to make it a career. The other thing is I'm super, super fanatical about MMA.
Okay.
Mixed martial arts.
Yeah.
Cage fighting.
Well, as a WWE fan, I can relate to that. No, I don't think so.
No,
those
I
are
think
two,
so.
That's, it's two entirely different things, I think. One of them is a sport and the other one is theater.
That's true. I like theater. I don't like real violence, so I guess
right.
I'm not a big MMA
I would say,
fan.
You know, Hamilton is closer to WWE than MMA.
Ooh, great question. What's closer to WWE, Hamilton or MMA?
Ooh, well, when they had the Hamilton show and then Mike Pence was in the audience, remember that one?
Uh-huh.
When that happened? That was very WWE
Yeah,
there.
No, absolutely.
That was serious. But I actually saw Hamilton at the Kennedy Center, so.
And was it similar to MMA or more similar? Well, this is what I need to know.
There was a, not too much because somebody died. A lot of people died. It was over like the Civil War and whatnot. I don't know. I think that
Civil War.
Revolutionary.
There you go.
See, that's the reason why I had to go. I had to get hands-on learning about what was happening. I was like, he wasn't black? I thought Hamilton was black by the time it was all said and done.
Right.
Okay. So, Tim, I like your introduction and what we've learned about you so far. But I think that I would like you to kick off our interesting fact parade today. I know you came prepared. You showed me a bunch of notes, which I did not see any of the answers or the questions. I just saw that your Word document looked very well formatted and organized, and that made me very, very happy.
Lindsay has odd fetishes.
Yes.
Don't
yes.
we all?
Yes. If you want to just make your document all organized, nothing. Whew, getting all hot and bothered right
yeah.
now, boys.
Okay, so.
Okay, we're going to ignore that and move on.
Well, the first question from me would be, which American comedian is known for the "you might be a redneck" joke?
Okay, I know the answer to this.
So do I. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the Jeff Foxworthy, right?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Woo!
Part of the blue collar comedy tour.
Yeah, that
group.
Was huge for a while, and he also does "Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?" Right.
Right.
That's him.
Yep. That's him.
So, well, that's the guy. That is the guy. I love that comedian though, because he really, really puts together this format that became so synonymous with like his whole vibe. And I love Jeff Foxworthy.
Cool. So what led you to ask about Jeff Foxworthy as your interesting fact today?
What led me to do that was that I wanted something that I felt like people would be able to answer, but maybe it would be a little challenging and they might get confused because they'll be like, oh, he's the blue collar comedy guy. But there was like three or four blue collar comedy comedians.
Yeah.
So they might be like, oh, I thought it was the guy with the drink, the guy that's always holding the drink. Isn't it Ron White?
Ron White, yeah.
Isn't it the Larry the Cable Guy? I'll be like, no, it's Jeff.
So here's the thing. Every time I always talk about the blue collar comedy group with a bunch of people, that's an affect, right? that's an act. It's a character they've put on. Like, I'm sure they're from whatever region it is that they claim they're from, or they're sure. But every time I think of it, I think of Larry the Cable Guy, like, going home after a show, taking off his, like, a sleeve-ripped flannel shirt,
yeah,
and putting on, like, a smoking jacket and a monocle with, like, a snifter of brandy, and starts talking in, like, an English accent. Like, that's who he is, really. It. But then, you know, on stage, he's the big, you know, redneck kind of
You just
Southern
recently watched
accent.
Mrs. Maisel, didn't you?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it at all.
All right. Well, spoiler alert. Is that my bad. You'll if you know the show and you see the show, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, my wife has watched the whole thing. When the first season came out, I think she was like a week late into it, and then she watched the whole thing in a weekend.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Highly recommend if you like funny, well-done period shows.
Sure.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, so what, if you remember from blue-collar comedy, would you say it's kind of your favorite thing about them? Maybe not a specific joke or a specific moment, but why did they speak to you as a comedian?
Well, I just like that these comedians got together and they decided to do something as a kind of a team, because comedy is like very individualistic, especially stand-up comedy, mm-hmm. Not like improv.
You're
and sketch.
Alone on a stage, mm-hmm. So it's confirmed.
And there's a lot of competition involved between comedians. Like, if they're not like fully developed people, then, you know, you'll be at a show and somebody else will kick some butt on stage and everybody's laughing, and then the next person up, they might get really, really like nervous, like, oh man, they're getting all the laughs, there won't be any laughs for me, and there's this like scarcity
right
mindset, right? So these guys said, let's all band together and let's do this super comedy tour and let's speak to our audience. And that's the thing I think I liked the most about that.
I didn't know what answer I'd get when I asked that question, and that was a really great
was much
great
better
answer
than anything Lindsay would have been able to come
no,
up with.
No, definitely. That's what I'm saying. The compliments. I know I always sound sarcastic when I'm complimenting, but I mean that sincerely.
You really do.
I mean that sincerely.
There's your secret phrase.
I mean that sincerely. Hey, Tim, what's the secret phrase?
I mean that sincerely.
Oh, he does. He means it sincerely. Okay, that's your secret phrase.
Problematic because I don't know how to spell sincerely.
Who does? It's like definitely for me. Definitely is my nemesis. Nick, I would like you to go next with your secret fact.
Okay. See, with my interesting fact?
Your interesting
my
fact.
My interesting fact.
It could also be secret, but that would kind of defeat the purpose of this podcast.
Yes, it would. All right. So recently, a couple of weeks ago, mathematicians discovered a new prime number.
Oh.
Whoa. Right. So numbers are infinite.
Yeah,
they can
I've
go on forever, and you just keep counting and counting and counting and counting. The difficulty is in working out the math to determine what is or is not a prime number. Right? You could right now give me a number.
Well, you know me. My wheelhouse is definitely mathematics.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So they found the new largest known prime number. So somebody found it and did the research and figured it out. And then other mathematicians spent 2 weeks doing the calculations to confirm that, in fact, it was a prime number, which all of a sudden gets into, I know nothing about mathematics, because how on earth could it take 2 full weeks for a team of people to confirm whether or not nothing else can be divided into this number? Right?
Yeah.
They're doing a lot of coffee and cigarette breaks.
Yeah. So my question for you is, how many digits long is the new prime number? And I will give both you and the people we asked this question to during trivia this week a range of give or take 500,000. Give or
digits?
Take 500,000, how many digits long is the largest known prime number?
Digits?
Digits.
500,000 digits?
Give or take 500,000 digits.
I thought for a second you were going to ask us the number, and I had a mini heart attack. Like, my whole body convulsed.
Right.
I was like, how are they? These are mathematicians for two.
Is it 12? No, Lindsay, it's not 12.
I was more comfortable when he first asked that. When he gave us a range, I got even more anxious. Oh, gosh.
I was going to say, Tim, is it like math in your wheelhouse? I mean, I know you can add up scores, or at least I hope you can. Because if not,
I'm pretty good at adding up the scores because the computer knows most of it. I am the son of an electrical engineer.
Oh, all right.
So I have a little bit. But I was gonna say a mile. How long is it? It's a mile of numbers.
You know,
depending on the font.
Legitimate answer. Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say 10,000 digits. That's what I'll say.
Give or take 500,000 digits. Your guess is 10,000?
Sure.
So that leads you to 510,000 to negative 490,000.
Yeah.
Okay.
I stick with that.
I think that's a bold strategy and kind of limiting yourself. Are you sure?
I am.
You know what?
Sure.
This could very easily be a $1 scenario for him where where his negative 590,000 is still closer than your answer.
If the answer is seven digits and you gave us a range of 500,000, I am going to be so furious at you because that goes back to our rule as
trick questions and super misleading information.
We really. I think most of the people that are listening to the podcast, you know, whether you're in Portland or D.C. or
anywhere
Baltimore,
else in the country,
wherever
yeah.
you're listening from, like, we don't try to trick people. Maybe you'll do some clever things.
Generally, yeah. We try to be clever and not deceitful.
Are you being deceitful right now?
No, we do. We try to be clever.
Do you mean that? Do you mean that sincerely?
No, I mean it cleverly.
Okay, so within 500,000, I think that it would be silly to say 500,000 as my range because then I go 0 to 1 million. So I will say 2 million.
Two million.
2 million.
Okay. The largest known prime number is 24,862,048 digits long.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, you need to up that range to 1 million then. Oh my gosh, 2 million. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, well, it's a give or take 500,000. That's 1 million range.
So what is that number called? Like, is it?
It doesn't have a number.
What are they called? Like kajillion, bagadillion? Google
yeah, no,
something.
there is no number that is we don't have a prefix for a number that large.
Got it.
It's more than a mile.
It is more than a mile long.
It's more than
yes.
a mile.
In any font.
Yeah, so how did they, does it get into how they calculated this? I know you said it took a long time, but how did they even remotely start to process
it? Yeah, so this
it?
Is a specific kind of prime number known as a Mersenne prime.
Oh, because there's different types of prime numbers.
Yeah,
oh,
again, right, it's the amazing things you learn when you work for this company. So Mersenne primes have a very simple formula of 2n minus 1.
Obviously.
Okay.
We knew this, Tim.
In this case specifically, n is equal to 85,589,933.
Oh.
So if you multiply that number by itself, you get this, and then subtract one, you get this number from the equation. But what I don't understand is why does it take 2 weeks to multiply 82 million by itself? I can do that on my calculator right now. It won't take 2 weeks.
To do what, 82 million?
To do 82 million times 82 million minus one. Like there's a little bit of order of operations in there. And obviously, I am not a mathematician, nor do I claim to have any true understanding of the concept.
Well, I think you just claim to be able to do something that they could do.
I claim to be able to multiply 82 million by itself.
I'm serious. They were just like... taking breaks, a lot of breaks.
Yeah, that's just so many coffee and cigarettes.
Making paper footballs and stuff.
But yeah, so you multiply 82 million by itself, by 82,589, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, 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 times itself, 2n, right? Then at least I think that's how that formula works. I'm not sure. Maybe that's that number squared. Maybe I reverse that, n squared. Yeah, that's exactly what I did. All right, so I have no idea how the formula works. I think I've proven my ignorance in this field.
Okay, so would you like to recant your previous statement that you could do it?
No, I maintain my statement that I can multiply 82 million by itself. What that has to do with this equation, apparently I have no idea, and neither would anyone else, because it has nothing to do with that equation. So I think what we really need is we need one of our listeners who is a mathematician who can understand why that's difficult.
Yeah.
To let us know in very, very simple terms.
Explain like I'm
talk
five.
Talk to me like I'm a five-year-old, yeah. Why exactly that is so good.
Whatever.
And then the... so difficult.
It.
Yeah. And then the other fun thing about this article, it's an NPR article, is basically saying, like, why is this important? Why is it important that we have found this new largest number?
Yeah, that's why
the kid
is it important?
I was going to say, that's the kid in the back of the class, like, raising, what is right. this? Why?
Right. Where am I going to use this?
What am I doing?
Yeah, I still don't know how to do my taxes. Like, give me something useful. How do I do laundry? But basically, the response that was from the mathematicians is, think of it in terms of, like, a large diamond, like
okay.
the Hope Diamond,
mm-hmm.
uh-huh.
right? The Hope Diamond's at the Smithsonian here in D.C., and mm-hmm. whenever you go into the gem room at the Smithsonian.
When it's reopened.
Yeah, when it reopens, right? there is, you know, the Hope Diamond is there, and it's this 45-carat diamond. It's this huge, giant diamond, and there's always people standing around looking at it, commenting on it.
Touching the glass.
And trying
annoying
to get close,
me.
Making up heist plans as they're going through as to how they're going to get out
of
there with it.
Very closely at those walls.
Yes.
Like, very closely.
So, and basically their response is, this is how you, what value is the Hope Diamond? It's something pretty to look at. So, what value is the largest known prime number? It's something pretty to look at. It's one of those things that's just kind of cool.
It's a trophy number.
Exactly.
Just walk around with your arm around it.
here's a question that you may or may not be able to answer, and this is coming strictly from a place of curiosity.
Sure.
What is the last digit?
I don't know.
It can't be a two.
It's somewhere between a 0 and a 9.
Okay. Well, I just was curious.
Yeah, that's all I have.
I'm going to ask I have a friend that can do incredible long division in his head and I think I've told this story where we tried to swindle people on the streets of Vegas. Like, if you can do it faster on your calculator than he can do in his brain, you know, and
right,
try
right.
to have money, but no one took us up on the bet.
No.
Because
you're in Vegas and that's a sucker bet.
Yeah, I was too confident. And then my friend was like, I'm not okay with this. You have no choice. So I'm going to ask him this.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I'm going to go on to my interesting fact if you're all wrapped up and done, yes?
Yep.
All right, cool. So last week I talked about the guy that did the solo trek across Antarctica.
Yes.
And we knew that took him a pretty long time.
Yeah, it was like 50-something days.
Yes, which was the fact that I had asked, 50-something days. So I went down the wormhole, as I do, looking for other extraordinary feats because I've been working out and training. And
nice.
I'm not good at it. So
right.
running, I'm like, ugh.
Running sucks. Anybody who has ever said to me, it's like, oh, you don't like running? Like when you get out there and the endorphins and the adrenaline and you just feel so good. And I'm like, no, you are wrong.
I like how accomplished.
On so many levels.
I like how accomplished I feel after. And we constantly poo-poo runners. I think you're amazing. And it's really just coming from a deep-seated place of jealousy.
That's exactly what it is. Yes, I wish I could be you. And I can't because I hate it so much.
All these runners in Portland are like, why?
Yeah.
So Ed Stafford, he has a show on Discovery. He's kind of well known for being this guy that survives everything and explores. And
survives everything?
Yeah, like,
what is he doing that he's well known for surviving stuff?
He, like one of his shows, they just dropped him off in Fiji for 60 days with no kit, no water, nothing, and survive. And then there was some that other explorers could challenge him to survive in certain places, I guess, or I don't know if it was like Last Man Standing or something. I don't know.
You got to drop him off in Compton.
He's got books.
Survive this.
The thing I always like about he's a Bear Grylls type, one of those.
I guess. I don't know. He's very well known.
The thing I really like about this is that I assume he has some sort of TV show or some sort of
He currently does have a TV show, yes.
Yeah, so he gets challenged to like get dropped off in the middle of nowhere and to survive it. And he does, and it's miraculous. And yet the like 14-person crew that's around him at all times also survived during that time period.
So the show he has now is called Into the Unknown, and it's still on the Discovery Channel. I watched a couple trailers of it for no other reason than I wanted to, and it looks incredible, and I want to start watching it. But anyway, how he sort of started rising to fame, in 2008, he started at the source of the Amazon River, and he became the first person, and this is recognized by Guinness, to go from the source of the Amazon River all the way to the Atlantic Ocean, all the way through. So I would like to know, how long did that take?
How long did the trip down the Amazon River
take?
Yeah,
so he was the first person to walk the length of the Amazon River source to sea. So how many days did that take? The first to walk the length of the Amazon River from source to sea.
From source to sea. All right. So this is, again, like the last question you asked, this is a multi-part figuring it out.
Yes.
Right, Tim? So question number one.
I think that I have the information that you need. I'm hopeful. I try to anticipate it.
Well, I'd like to try to put it together on our own, and then we'll ask for hints. So, Tim, the question is in three parts-ish, right? Part number one, how long is that walk?
Mm-hmm.
Right? How long is the Amazon River with all of its twists and turns and backs and forths and everything else? Number two, how far can he get per day?
Right.
Walking through the Amazon jungle and the Amazon River basin and everywhere else. And then part three, how much time did he lose to injury, insanity, and everything else that comes up during that? Piranha attacks? There's piranhas in the Amazon, right?
Oh, there are.
For sure.
Yeah. So what's your guess, Tim, on how long the Amazon River is? How long was the walk?
Ooh, the Amazon River. Gosh, I imagine it's, I'd say it's probably like 2,000 miles.
2,000 miles? All right. It is the longest river in the world, yes?
It depends on who you ask.
Okay.
So according to the World Atlas, the Amazon is the longest river.
Okay.
According to the Guinness Book of World Records, the Nile is the longest river. And they're off by maybe a couple hundred miles, but it's hard for folks
twists
to tell.
Twists and turns.
It depends on where you measure.
Okay.
It's one of those trivia questions where, depending on how you define how you're measuring the river, changes the answer and also changes where the source is. And that's really the question as to where is the source of the river. Either way, they're both kind of comparable, but most places say that the
Amazon is
the
longest.
Longer.
All right.
Yeah.
So because when they talk about both rivers, some of the people are like, no, it's denial.
But
I'm putting them together. We're freestyling.
I'm all for groans and wordplay. So
Lindsay is the biggest pun person on the.
I boo you because I was just jealous that I didn't do that first.
Yeah. All right. So putting this in terms that I can try to estimate out.
Do you want to know the length of the Amazon River?
Well, give me a second.
Okay.
The Mississippi River in the United States runs all the way from. Where? Minnesota?
Mimal.
From the Great Lakes or whatever? Mimal?
It's the guy that exists in the map, you know, Minnesota, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
And it makes a little guy with a hat, and he's got his little leg kicking out. It's Mimal.
Oh, I never knew that.
Mimal. Hi.
Oh.
Yeah, hey, Mimal.
All right, so north to south throughout the entirety of the United States. And the north to south from Minnesota to Louisiana.
Yeah, that's his little boot.
Is 2,000 miles, give or take?
Whoa.
Is that about right?
Gosh, I would say give or take.
Right? So it's 3,000 east to west. Yeah. I want to say it's like 1,800 to 2,000 north to south.
I feel good about that.
Okay. Yeah. So, and in the history of lists in my brain, the Mississippi River is usually not in the top five, or it's like fourth or fifth, or it's not anywhere close to the Nile or the Amazon. So I'm going to say it's a little over twice the length. So I'm going to go with 4,300 miles the length of the Amazon.
That's correct.
That is it?
Yes.
Like dead on?
I mean, you're pretty close. It varies from 4,200 to 4,400, but yeah, about 4,300 miles is correct. So
okay.
Over 4,000 is 4,000 miles is correct, yes.
Okay.
Whoa.
So
well done.
Big world.
Then, Tim, how far can you walk in a day?
Oh, my goodness. I know people that do like those breast cancer walks and whatnot, and I don't think the average person is going to be able to do more than, gosh, 30
miles in a day
max. Yeah, you're gonna get shin splints and stuff. This guy's got to do this day after
day.
So he's got to partition his walking.
All right. So I am of the we did a fact on the podcast. One of my facts a couple of months ago was about the half K in Burney, Texas. Which is very much my speed.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's great. It's a couple hundred feet, or it's like 1,000 feet or something like that, and they have coffee at the beginning, a donut in the middle, and beer at the end, which is exactly what I'm looking for in my race. So, all right, so say 30 miles a day.
Yeah.
And this is, so he's an above-average person.
Yeah, I mean,
Right? He's a trained whatever.
He's a trekker.
So he could probably do more. However,
definitely.
That's 30 miles walking down the street, and this is through the Amazon River, you know, shoreline.
Right.
So that would probably bring him back to a normal person. So if we go with your estimate of 30 miles a day times 4,300 miles divided by 30, I'm not going to do the math in my head. it took him 143
days. 143
days,
okay.
To walk the whole thing. So that's my guess. Now, based on your fact from last week about the guy in Antarctica doing like 2,000 miles or whatever it was in 52 days.
It was like around 900 miles.
Oh, it was 900 miles? Okay, so four times that would be 200. Then I'm good with my
143. Tim, what do you think? How many days?
Ooh, gosh. I think that it won't be 143. I think it'll be a little bit longer, actually. So I'm going to go 250.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Both of you are very, very, very wrong.
Okay. Nice. He did it in like a week and a half, didn't he?
Yes, he did 4,000 miles in a week and a half. No. So he, when he was originally approaching folks, because you obviously need sponsors, and he's like video blogging and documenting this whole thing. He had a book that was released end of 2018, which I definitely want to go buy and read. Ed, if you're listening to this, holla. Yeah.
Come on the show. We'd love to talk to you about
it. We would love to talk to you about it. So originally he estimated and told all the sponsors that it was going to take a year.
Okay.
And he was like, that's not exactly. He was like, I don't want to scare him off if it's going to be more than a year.
Right.
Kind of figuring that it might be more. 2.5 years, roughly.
2.5 years?
So it was 860 days. So a little less than 2.5 years.
So Tim wins. He's closest without going over.
Yes. So Tim wins 860 days to go and walk the entire course of the Amazon. So he did it with a friend for the first 3 months. And then I don't know what happened. Friend left. Got another guy.
Eaten by piranhas.
No, he just left. He was like, see ya. Another guy joined up. The other guy says, hey, I'm just going to walk with you for 5 days and then finish the rest of the two-year journey with him.
That's a buddy.
That is a super fast friendship.
Yeah, and so he's kind of like, oh, man, I was only a couple months away from doing this thing as well. But
I don't know if I would be willing to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for 2.5 years with my wife, let alone with, like, just a friend.
Yeah, you got to really get to know somebody, I think.
I agree.
And especially they're in conditions. I mean, obviously, this is the jungle, so there's a lot of indigenous people there. He said that he's been held up by gunpoint repeatedly because of drug traffickers.
Sure.
Held up by bow and arrow, that the indigenous people saw them and were threatened. They actually communicated with radio frequencies and had heard that if a white man walks through here, we're going to kill him. Like, heard that kind of thing. At one point, he... They met some folks that threatened them, take them back to their camp. He was like, the women had machetes. We thought we were all going to die. Turns out they went through all of their belongings and were so curious about some of the Macs and things that they had never ever seen before, that a couple people from their tribe walked with them for 47 days. They got drunk together, and it was a jovial time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fun. Nothing brings people together like a stupid, pointless, and crazy quest.
Yeah. Yeah, so lots of great stories. I haven't read the book yet, but I want to and probably would recommend
it. Absolutely. We'll put it in the link dump, yeah.
Yeah, so 860 days it took him to walk the entire length of the Amazon River from source to sea. So again, another thing I will remember as I'm failing to just run a mile. Okay, well, yep. Tim, we're going to have you back next week. This time, we're going to wrap this episode up. Thank you for coming. We'll see you next week. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Tim.
And this has been the We Don't Know Either podcast.
Bye.
Bye.